Amanda in mijn case op vreemde wijs baat.
So the mice, yeah, that was a bit of a shiver there. Then we spoke about that was a chalukah l'kol, and we said also yesterday we finished off with speaking about Sakon's Eila. That was a new parasha already, yeah. Sorry, one of the things we said, take a temperature. This is a much chalukah l'kol, could be dishon mitzvah, and therefore one's allowed to take temperature of a chalukah l'kol. One's allowed to wind up a clock. Only wind up a clock if it's already working to wind up. You need to know the time, for example. You'll have to do that. Then we talk about giving an injection to a chalukah l'kol. Not working, that's a big shot of back of Pakistan. You're going to suck in the morning. That could be worse, that could be a shot much more common to Kashai. Because there, we don't like to do that because it's not working.
Are
the instruments still the balances? Are they called Ksiva? Ksiva Drabon, Pashas. Ksiva Drabon. The thing is, if Ksiva Drabon might be much of the Drabon, the Ksiva might be allowed. But here you have to switch it on. That's making a circuit.
No, you just put it on your forehead and you get a number and it goes away and disappears.
What is that? Is that a battery? Is it a battery inside?
No, heat.
Just heat.
Put it on your
so that's already better then. If you're not doing anything.
No, it's really no electric muscle, it's just switch on heat. The number will come up, but in like 10 seconds it'll disappear.
A normal thermometer is better.
Yeah.
A normal thermometer is better. Why do you put your mouth old fashioned ones? It's no shine. Yeah, that's much better. You're talking about electricity, isn't it? I don't know. What's it called? It's not called digital. Digital is a battery.
No, not digital.
It lights up. The coloured ones.
Yeah.
Look out, we should see what it says on here.
It's called a chemical.
What's it called?
A chemical.
It's like a chemical induction. Yeah. Chemical. Oh, here we go. 355 is what it says here.
Put your forehead, lights up for 10 seconds, and then
shine.
That's what we're
asking.
That's right, yeah. Right, I started to monitor this. From a lucky perspective, the best thermometer to use is the mercury one, the old fashioned ones. That's the best one to use. Right. Many retailers offer electronic thermometers as primary alternatives to mercury thermometers. Standard thermometers are battery operated. Standard digital thermometers are battery operators and use electronic digital heat sensor to record body temperature. A digital ear thermometer uses infrared rays to measure temperature. They should not be used on the shovel because that's electric circuits. Next one. Plastic strip thermometers. That's your one. Contain a material, interesting actually, he's right, it says, it's finished actually. Contains a material, a liquid crystal inside, that registers temperature by changing colour. That's one on your side, yeah? Disposable camera dot thermometers register by temperature by changing colour. Many possible prohibit use of these types of thermometers, except in life threatening operation. Why is that? Three.
Some sort of
seal, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not.
That what he says, actually.
You might
have
the window,
you've got steam on. I say it's a finish what he says. He says, Shem's answer. I don't understand it. Shem's answer says, why can't you? Because you're a good point. Why can't you? It's all drop on the passages, yeah? It's not permanent writing, it's not permanent writing, it's all drop on. And we said, for Chodah Kalakuf, you can do this in drop on. Chodah Kalakuf is asking. So he says, Shem's answer says, if you can't see the letter before using it, because it's very often the case, it's black, you can't see it. Also, if you start with the Chodah Kalakuf, you may not use the Chodah Kalakuf. To the Chodah Kalakuf, for a mutter, lava, and isn't drabon, but they shimmy. But here, you can't make a shimmy. Now, we said that myself, well, ideally you use a shiller, you can't do a shiller without it. The Rosh, if you take tablets, you can't do a shiller and take tablets without it. He's taking on it, you can't do it. Min jelly, coin. Interesting what he says.
What do you mean, jelly? What's shiller? What do you mean, jelly?
That was crazy. It's another for galley coin, it's a plastic strip thermometer. So I just say Corey, you have to see which one you're talking about. Are the letters visible before you start anything? I don't think so.
Right.
Not sure what it is.
There, you can't see it.
Yeah, that's nothing. That's most of nothing. That's not, I don't know what, I'm not sure what it is, showing us on actually. I have to show it's a good point. How is it? I would have thought it should be allowed, these thermometers. And isn't that one of the third color
books?
That's the normal way it's done now. That's not, I think that's called Kalaka anymore. That's the normal way it's done. That is the way you take credit. That's how they sell it.
Is it not like rubbing wax off an OCS? That it could be.
That's what it says. I sell most of the credit. Actually, if you can't see a letter, it's a problem. Actually,
yeah.
The back off is the problem. As far as I'm taking off.
More than a problem.
Yeah. Interesting, I'm not talking about the thermometer, you're right, it's a good point you're saying. The mask is my choice, it's right, so the show is a problem, because if it's not, the show is a whole problem, you can't look at nothing else. It's just, okay, I don't know what that means. Okay, that's the shadow thermometer. Okay, that was the end of really Chodek HaRodot. Then we moved on to Sakana's Eivah Moshe, and that's much more of a serious situation here. That's the danger of a loss of a limb. I must say, very often, this is a very hard case to work out what it means. Because often, when it's a loss of a limb, it's normally often with it bleeding. Now, often when there's serious bleeding, there's a risk of infection, which can be very, very serious. So that is often Sakonis Hafoshis, actually. The danger of infection can be Sakonis Hafoshis. So it's hard to know exactly what we're talking about when we're talking about Sakonis Hafoshis. Many years ago, actually, one of my children was playing football. Very interesting, actually, what happened. And I see he was in goal. And I see he tried to save the ball. And his hand hurt him. On Tuesday morning this happened. Tuesday afternoon. Let's see what happens, see how it goes. So he waited until Tuesday night, whatever, and he said it still hurts. I said, let's take it to A&E. So he took it to A&E in Crumps or whatever it was, makes it good. The first one, you see this tirage first. That's what he said to me. He said, the tirage said to me, no, you should have put it in earlier. I said, what's the problem? I said, look, we weren't sure what it was. I said, you can never know it. To what it said. I asked someone else, actually, explained to what it said. He said that sometimes when a bone is broken and it's near a vein, it can be life-threatening. Because if that bone, if you move your hand a certain way sometimes, the bone could hit the vein or the artery and be second to watch. I think, how are you supposed to know this? I don't know. You can't know. So if you go to a doctor and a doctor tells you, then you've got a problem. But I say, to a normal layman, I mean, you can't know all this. The thing is, the stomach of the answer is that it's so uncommon, such a thing like this, that we're not kosher. But if someone's got a broken washer, let's say a broken leg, not broke his leg, but I don't know if it's Sakonis Eivah, you don't go to have it seen straight away. Is this mummish, will the limb not be so good? I don't know. I mean, Kiddush. But they do speak about certain things. I've got over here a few examples over here. The moshra, a finger up on the stomach, which has been cut, badly cut. There, if it's not seen to straight away, then it could be the loss of the use of that finger. Or, as we said yesterday, you won't use it as well. So that is the second neighbor. Again, I'm not sure what I mean, because if it's bleeding very badly, it could be a shadow of infection. It's also very dangerous. So maybe for that, you could wrap something around it, protect it. Maybe you wouldn't have the hesa. We're talking about something over here where there's a possibility of such a thing that happened. And we spoke about this voluminous construction where the plaster of house is too tight. Tonight, I want to speak a little bit about the eye, actually. Very interesting about the eye. So the classic example they give on Sakonis Eivah is actually a retinal detachment. And what that is that, in a sense, the back of the eye comes already a little bit slightly out of the socket. Now, it's not Sakonis Hafoshis, it seems, but it can be a loss of the
eye.
Yeah, so that
loss
is...
Of
sorry?
A loss of the eye.
Loss of the eye. So that's allowed, so they're allowed to do certain things, which comes to what you have to do. So we said yesterday, what you have to do for Sakonis Hafoshis? Sakonis Hafoshis is all troponins weight, every single troponins weight. Now, so much so that even a melachical rice of Kalachigal is allowed. That means we spoke about yesterday, the Moshe phoning the Moshe, for example, the ambulance or the taxi, whatever it is. You do it with a shoe, you knock the phone off the hook. And you die with a shinner, you put it back with a shinner, all that is kalachayat, that makes it mutter to do for Sakonis Eivah. So you've done away with everything, come out everything you can do on Shabbos, really, yeah? Really, that really helps with everything, more or less. What else is there with the eye? That could be dangerous. I've written down a few things over here.
You're not
on Shabbos, no. If it's Sakonis Eivah, you have to do with a shinner, you have to phone with, what do you call it, in an abnormal way, you have to phone. Not the right way, this is what it says about that.
Should
sorry?
Can I go into one of you?
Yeah, that's right, yeah. Yeah, you can go into one of you as well. This is important, yeah. Let's just see my eye. We've got a whole stick of my eye, I want to show you eye. 197. So he's got a lot of here about eyes things. So it's very hard for us to understand what's going on. You see, there's so many different things that go on. Right, conjunctivitis is nothing. That's a redness of the eye. That's itchiness. That's nothing. That's not conjunctivitis even at all. That's not, you can't even do anything on Shabbos without having to do. Eye infection, severe eye infection. That means he's right over here, swelling, the extensive pain. He's got to go to the emergency room on Shabbos. That's the most important. So one should have a non-Jew assist to do this. That's not life-threatening. Unless there's no non-Jew eye, then there's a risk of swelling very badly, then one should do that. This is one eye injury. That's if someone knocked an eye. Remember, many years ago, I was in the eye hospital with one of my children, actually. It was not a Shabbos or something, and someone came in, one of the going came in there with a black eye. Someone punched him, obviously, in his eye. Man is completely black. Now that's probably a second thing. I know it's life threatening, but something like that, someone hurts himself in such a way that he gets a knot on his eye, which is very, very painful. Such a question is a second thing. Then the person is allowed to do what we said is allowed to be done. Again, if you can avoid it, again, non-Jew to do this, that's the best to do. One should definitely try, a chemical burn, also he speaks about over here. That's like one of someone gets bleach, for example, in someone's eye. So he says over here, it's very interesting to say because it's written by a rabbi and a doctor. So he says the very first thing to do with bleach in the eye or anything like that is to immediately have the victim hold his head under a shower with the running water. And the eyelid held open for water to flow over their eye to wash out the eye. That's obviously possible, but basic common sense. After that, if you've done that for a while and the eye is still burning, then one should arrange yourself to have a non-Jew to take him to hospital. It doesn't say about a year actually, to have a non-Jew take him. It looks like it's a concert that, it's not a concert foshus. So you can't, the yid can't drive the car, that's like a problem, man. You said that would be an example.
You can't drive the car?
On Shabbos, which you're not doing a week.
Shabbos,
yeah, Shabbos, you can't drive the car. That's not a, what?
You said it's a concert Ava, you can.
No, that's what right.
Did you
know? Sakonis Ava lies through any Issad Rabon. So you could do an Issad Raisa with a shimmy. That knocks it down to a Rabon. But driving a car is a Raisa.
Because someone's
eye is hanging out. You know, you can't. Okay, but right. I can't understand. Unless it's a constant fossils. That maybe an infection will come. If the eye's hanging out, could be an infection might come.
Yeah.
But if someone's got a bruised eye, a very bad bruised eye, but there's a danger, of course, a loss of limb, the horror, there's no head to get to drive the car. This is driving the shin, it's a bit hard to do. I wouldn't do that. Driving the shin, you can't go.
You touch the brake
without a shin,
and then you
know,
over there.
Imagine just. That's a classic example of what you can't do on a shin driving a car.
Yeah.
There's no hesitance to drive a car. So I can't understand. I don't know what a person does to us. I say, he's got to get a goy. He can phone for an ambulance because we're out. We do a shin. Again, you do the shin. You said you do with your finger. You do all the things. You can knock down every command, every malach, every avodah on Shabbos can be knocked down with the rabbon. I say driving a car is a problem actually.
Why is it driving a car?
Because that you can't lock down. How can you do it? You can't do anything about it.
So what's the problem with driving on Shabbos?
No, it's a dress. It's a Jewish street. Mavis, I'm sorry. That's what's the problem with driving a car on Shabbos?
Why can't you steer
it? Why can't you drive? You can't drive yourself. That's the problem. You can't drive yourself. I don't know, it's like, you can see it doesn't make sense about you doing it. It's always from our goy over here. It's like an interesting question. That horror is a classic example where you can't do it in a chayyah. You can't do it in an abnormal way. Don't know. Okay, all these other things, a sudden loss of vision, that's a serious thing actually. A loss of vision to a person, it's clearly that one to understand it's a stroke. So that one can become shuffle straight away. That's what I can't say either. That's much worse than the colour. But one has to know. I say, well, generally one doesn't know what's going on. That's the thing. I say, I once saw someone breaks, falls over and he twists his foot and washes very painfully. I don't know if it's Sakonis or Foshus. It could be. I don't even know if it's called Sakonis Eva even. I say, I'm not sure if a foot's not treated straight away, whether there's a loss of a limb. I would be very surprised if it has to be treated money straight away.
Why should it be treated straight away? Why should it go to the ambulance?
We can't phone someone.
You can't.
I'm not sure. I don't know how far you go. I'm not sure we go. Any break is not called Sakon Zeva. I'd say a cut in a finger is a good example because that's between straight away. If that's not seen to straight away, that's a serious problem. But other than that, breaking a bone, generally speaking, is not Sakon Zeva. It's not that it's imperative it has to be seen to straight away. It can look like Shabbos. Obviously, it's painful and everything. What?
Sometimes you have a bad break.
It has to be dealt straight away.
Yes, what?
What?
There's things and there's all sorts of things happening.
No, I put about breaking a bone.
Yeah, that's.
It could be. I have to check it out. I don't know. It's a chiddush. Maybe it is. Maybe right. Okay, it's just interesting. Just to finish off Sakhanas Eva, Chazal gave a few dinim of Sakhanas Eva, not only to Sakhanas Eva. A good example. Sometimes Chazal says the pain of a certain situation is so painful that we treat it like Sakhanas Eva. Chazal gave three examples of this. One is a woman who has excess milk, so it's very, very painful. So the answer is, well, shoot this woman. She's stuck on Shabbos, got excess milk, nothing to do. Now, to milk a person on Shabbos is a shadow of the rice. But if you make the milk go to waste, that's a malachish institute of kufa, which is normally a very severe drabonim, actually, yeah? But in this case over here, since it's so severe, we give it the same din sakonas eva, and we allow the woman to do this. So this is another example of something where you're allowed to do a malachash in the kufa shabbos. Not very common, this actually. You're allowed to do a malachash in the kufa shabbos. So this is that's the case. You're actually expressing the milk to go to waste. That there's no purpose whatsoever. That makes it a chomel drabonah, which we allow for women with serious pain. Who has it? Someone's got a very serious boil or cyst, which is pressurizing inside there. It's very, very painful, and he wants to pop the boil or the cyst. Now that's making a pesach, making a hole. But again, Chazal allowed this for a person who's in excruciating pain. They gave it the same deal as Sakhanas Eva, in order to allow the person to relieve this uncomfortable feeling. The last example Chazal gave, this could be a bit controversial, is Chazal say that if someone's got an animal, or some reptile which is chasing him, it's not Sakhanas Nefoshes, but if the animal bites him, it's exceptionally painful. In such a case there, if it's going after the person, you're allowed to kill the animal.
Like a
wasp. Ah, I thought it might be a wasp. So that is allowed to go. Let's put a rocket into your cup, because even though you're killing it, you don't really want it. You just don't want to hear. That's not doing the shortcut normally, you kill the cow, you want the milk, you want the meat, or whatever it is. That's here. You don't want the animal you're killing. The only reason why you're doing it is just so that you can get rid of it from chasing you. So that is another example of what do you call it? You're allowed to.
Sorry, these things chasing
and
it has bitten you?
No, it has bitten you. An animal which is very, very painful, the bite is very, very painful. And if it comes after you, it's coming after you, it catches you, it bites you, it's very, very painful. That has like in the head now already. I think it's to trap it or to kill it. I can't remember which one it was. Maybe it's to trap it. I can't remember which one it was. One of the two, trapping or killing it, yeah? And that's a hitch there, because you mustn't trap on Shabbos. But they gave a special allowance for this because it's so painful. The question is how far this goes. So a wasp or a bee, the chora, is pashtus not included in this. It's painful, but it's not so severe the pain that has not allowed it.
I ask flap
would be away. It flap would be away, but to trap it, actually trap it itself, that Chazal's case is like a snake or something like that. Something which is going after a person where the bite is very, very painful. That is a special hetzer Chazal allowed for a person to trap on Shabbos because it's not into the gufa and it's very painful. But you can't misuse it. You can't say, oh, wasps and bees and that. That's what it says. That doesn't go as far as that. Alright, guys, we'll stop. Why? Can you...